This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thank you for staying with me, Chuang, with Shaz and Chen Li. Now, let's talk about the university dropout rate.
So earlier this month, Higher Education Minister Datuk Sri Dr. Noraini Ahmad told Parliament that over 17,000 students dropped out of public university last year, while some 5,000 students had suspended their studies at the same time. She added that around 20,000 or over 20,000 students in private universities had also opted to defer their studies, citing personal or family health problems as well as financial problems.
Noraini said that the government is addressing the issue by providing scholarships and financial assistance to target groups as well as mental health counselling. However, do we really know what is causing students to drop out, and is it purely related to the pandemic? And does government assistance address the crux of the issue, and should more be done to ensure that students finish their tertiary education?
Well, to answer those questions, we now turn to Dr. Prem Kumar Rajagopal. He's the president of the Malaysian University of Science and Technology. Dr. Prem, thank you for talking to us. Now, the Higher Education Minister cited what appears to be quite alarming statistics, right? Dropping out of university, 17,000 is a lot. As an educationist and as the president of a higher education institution yourself, are you concerned?
Hi, good morning, all of you. Yeah, absolutely, yes. I am concerned, and my colleagues who are the administrators of the university, they are concerned too. But before looking into this alarming situation, let us look at some statistics. Yeah, the total student population in Malaysia is roughly about 1.3 million. And the total dropout, according to the news, it is 38,000. So that comes to about total about 2.8% dropouts. But at the same time, if you look at the University World News, November 2021, 6 in every 100 students, that is 6.3%. That's how many students drop out of universities in the UK on average.
All right. Are you saying, Dr. Prem, that the rates mentioned, they could be inaccurate, that perhaps the dropout rate in Malaysia could be much higher? Is that the point you're trying to make?
Absolutely, yes. I think it could be higher than that. Yeah. But just looking at the raw data that I have, I think it could be more than that. Of course, if you compare to University of Cambridge, where the dropout rate is about 1% and University of Oxford is about 1.2%, and on average, Japan is about 5.9%. Yep.
But what about the reasons? You know, what is causing students to defer their studies and drop out from it altogether?
Well, the top reasons for their decision to drop out their studies were financial constraint, inability to adapt to online students' life, and loss of interest in studies too. And if you're looking at a classroom, for example, when someone cracks a joke, the entire class laughs. And you don't get that kind of feelings when everyone's microphone is muted, yeah? So also in classroom, students have the flexibility of moving. Someone asks a question, you can turn to right, you can turn to the left, you can turn to face them and so on. But being in one classroom, in one direction, always looking at the screen, from classes to assignment, the group studies that contribute lack of interest. Also the same time, if you look at the online classes, the students feel depressed and fighting apathy stemming from social isolation. And you can see that most of the dropouts are from the year one students. And this is because of the cultural shift. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dr. Prem, what we're discussing is not new. I mean, famously, Mark Zuckerberg did drop out of university. I think Steve Jobs also did fall out of university. They started very successful companies. Now, how much of this change is due to universities not evolving as fast as industry is? Because it's maybe not seen as relevant. Three-year degree programs are too long, too expensive, and not in touch necessarily. How would you respond to that assessment?
Before taking up my career in the academic world, I worked in Intel technology for 14 years. Yeah. And until today, I still believe that industry is always ahead of academia. Yes, academia produced a lot of research, publication, blah, 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 and so on. Yeah. But then industry is ahead. So the point that I'm trying to stress here is resilience, like the COVID-19. Yeah. We were all faced with COVID-19, but resilience to come back to position, to come back to the real nature or the purpose of our existence. Yeah, that's important. So today, what the university is producing is, of course, we have been guided by the MQA from Malaysia, yeah, with the business standards and the standards of all programs and so on. But then, how much are we resilient enough? How much do we react to the changes or the shift that's happening in the industry?
Well, that's so part of the reason why maybe students are dropping out, Prem, Dr. Prem.
Yeah, could be, because, you know, they find that as there's a lot of news about unemployment rate and so on, and they just feel that, hey, 3 years I'm going to go through these studies and my future is not secure. I'm not too sure whether I can get a job. Yeah.
In that case, Dr. Prem, yeah. In observing this trend, it does seem to me that it's the private higher education institutions who are most at risk, because if a greater number of young people choose not to go to university and choose to work instead, that would put private higher education institutions at risk of closure, right? Especially if they don't have the funds to kind of weather through this trend.
Yeah, the cumulative effect will be the risk of closure. That is a cumulative effect, yeah? But I believe the higher education, private higher education institution in Malaysia, they are fully aware of this, yeah? And they are working towards reimagining education, yeah? Whether the 3 years degree program is still relevant, or should they do pockets like micro-credentialing, yeah? Micro-credentialing, specifically focusing on special skill sets to enable students to be employed when they graduate. So higher education institution, private especially, they are fully aware of it. And as far as my knowledge is concerned, they are working towards that direction. Yep.
And what about faculties and the lecturers? Do you also see that lecturers will be dropping out or quitting because of the lack of students or perhaps difficulty to teach in the pandemic?
I believe faculty members and lecturers, yes, you have different demography, especially the age group of faculty members in a given university. But the challenge here is getting the faculty members, not only the older generation, but also even the youngsters who has taken up the career as faculty members, you know, getting them to adapt to the online new learning as a norm, is also a bit challenging, because online class is not just about delivering the class. It is going beyond that. How to get students to be engaged and creating the stickiness in the class. Yeah. So faculty members will have to continuously look into ways and means how to create, you know, the stickiness and engagement. Maybe they need to look at how to get personalized learning for students.
Absolutely.
Yeah, personalized learning. And I think the younger generation today, millennial group, right, the younger generation, they love to have games. So the higher education has to look into how can gamification be brought into teaching and learning.
Many things that the policymakers must do, Dr. Prem. Thank you so much for your time. That was Dr. Prem Kumar Rajagopal, the president of the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. So much to unpack. Education has always been a thorny issue in Malaysia, tertiary as well. Unemployability, underemployment, fallout, dropout rates. You know, the startup ecosystem is so vibrant now that if you're a student that is about to enter university or is in university, you got to think to yourself, why must I sit here in essentially jail for 3 years when I can go out there and be IPO'd in two? Do you know what I mean, right?
I feel like, yeah, that could be a thought process that many are thinking. But again, I feel like, you know, you can look at Mark Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs who dropped out of school and got their riches, but this is still the exception. You know, not everybody who doesn't have that education gets to reach those pinnacles of success.
Correct.
So I think that's something to bear in mind. And I think that is an argument in favor of continuing that tertiary education.
A lot of people are starting businesses. A lot of people are joining startups, and that whole micro-credential area, which is very important. Like, so for example, if you go and join a UX UI course for say 6 years online distance, right, from say whatever Glasgow or whatever, right, you will be much more employable than someone who's goes through 3 years comp science.
So can I just share, I had an interesting conversation with the managing director of BAC Education Group. So they run Brickfields Asia College. And this is actually something that they're doing. They're linking up with groups like Coursera, like LinkedIn and Skillshare, just trying to incorporate those micro-credentials in their curriculum. And in a way, it's a what is, as what Dr. Prem was saying, these private higher education institutions are trying to make their courses more attractive and providing those snippets of, you know, what do you call that, qualifications in order to make their students more employable. But it's a continuing conversation for sure.
That could potentially make them be moving faster than the public institutions. That's Bez watching as well. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.